welcome back, and thanks to Michael LaFleur for joining us and having a conversation about that whole thing, that sacred-secular divide and how he sees the spiritual in pretty much everything. Our next guest is Melanie Wood. She's a producer and a storyteller. She's a filmmaker, and she's here to talk about a new series that is going to be airing on the Knowledge Network on November the 6th for at least a few days, and we'll hear from Melanie about that. It's called Living in Hope. Melanie, thank you for your time today. Appreciate you joining us. Oh, and we may
hear.
We may.
Melanie?
Melanie, are you with us?
Hello?
Oh, there we go.
I'm here.
Excellent. Melanie, thank you so much. We had a little bit of a technical issue that I'm going to blame on a guy by the name of Tim.
Always my fault.
There you go. Poor Tim.
It's all right.
Poor Tim. That's the
It's not Drew. It's someone else.
Melanie, the t-shirt I'm wearing really right now, it says on it, poor Tim.
I bet it does. Anyway,
so
I'm here now.
You are here now, and thanks a lot for joining us. I really appreciate it. I just read. I've watched the trailer. The series of films are coming out in a couple of days. I want to hear about why you're involved and all that, but 600,000 Canadians have reported needing mental health care that isn't getting provided, that one in three Canadians will experience mental illness or a substance abuse disorder of some kind in their lifetime. Can you kind of introduce the series with us with those sort of stats in mind?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not really a stats person. I know those things to be true. But to me, what's more meaningful is telling really personal stories. So I set out to do documentaries that reached out and tried to help people who were struggling with their mental health to tell their stories, to really give them a voice. So we can, I mean, it's all very well and good to say, you know, mental health is for us all or whatever it is. But until we really try and understand what someone else is going through, we can't make any headway, and we won't be able to attach resources to it if we don't talk about it and if we don't know that it's happening.
Is this the line that I read in the press kit is real life drama in a psychiatric facility? So tell us about that. The trailer is moving and quite funny, actually, in its own right, which you probably wouldn't expect from a series of films about mental health.
That's right. I certainly didn't expect that going in, but there for sure is a lot of humor throughout the series. I just want people to know that this is not dark and gloomy all the time. I mean, for sure, there's serious things happening, but also, as you pointed out, a lot of humor. The facility is a new building in Vancouver, North Vancouver, British Columbia, where they took, you know, traditionally psychiatric wards have been kind of the basements or back rooms of any hospital complex, sort of hidden away and dark and not really purpose-built. So this building was built especially for this reason, and it has an inpatient unit and lots of community outreach offices, and they see people there as well from the community. So it's quite a lovely place.
So let's get a little plug in there. So this is going to air on the Knowledge Network itself, correct? Which is knowledge.ca, and it airs this Tuesday, November the 6th.
Yeah, this Tuesday, November 6th at 9 p.m., it goes on air, but also it streams across Canada on knowledge.ca. So Knowledge is now becoming kind of the public television of Netflix. Oh, no, the Netflix of public television.
Got it.
Knowledge.ca. So you can all watch it. As soon as it goes to air, it is also online and stays there to watch anytime you want.
Yeah, for I would imagine, a couple of years at least, right?
At least.
Yeah,
yep.
Yeah. I mean, I know every license is a little different, but it's amazing. It's an amazing resource for sure. Knowledge, and it's knowledge.ca, November 6th.
Yeah, really simple.
So, I mean, obviously, there's probably a whole host of reasons to what drew you to this. Can you talk a little bit about that and maybe your story? And I do want to talk about the stigma that's attached to all of this as well, that we still are not only struggling with as Canadians, but I think, you know, globally, frankly.
Yeah, I think so, too. And, you know, when I was growing up, I know my cousin had one of my cousins had a son who died by suicide, took his own life. And my mom was in bed for weeks at a time, sometimes quite severely depressed. We didn't talk about any of that. It just was what was in our family. But in general, in my career too, I like telling stories of people who don't have a voice. So when Knowledge Network came to me and suggested we look and do some research and try and figure out how we can make a series about mental illness, I jumped at the chance. I mean, for me, I just wanted to do it. Even all the odds seemed to be against me finding anyone who would talk. I had all these, my own stigma around it, you know? Who's going to talk to me if they're suffering? Who's going to want to be on television and tell everyone about their mental illness? Turns out, quite a few people do. So that was good news.
How do you think it changed the way you stepped into this situation, into this context, sort of having that kind of experience in your own history? And I would think most of us have examples of that as well. But as a filmmaker, as a storyteller, did it change the way you held the camera or the way you approached some of these folks?
Yeah, I think it did, because I didn't have that us and them divide.
Right.
I just felt
nice.
Like I was in there. I was another person trying to help them tell a story. The one thing that is us about me is that I have a camera, but that's it. Other than that, I'm just one of them. So it really did help, I think, going in and not making assumptions that me and the crew were that much different than anyone else. We just happened to have a different deck of cards dealt to us.
Hmm. The interview that we just did before you, and I think it's been a theme throughout today's show, is this idea of separation and how we're not separate. You know, we are all in this all together, whether it's, you know, through impact investing or the way you approach your understanding of the world and your religion and so on. I mean, there's this big circle around all of us. And I think that's such, I mean, I don't think we all get out of bed that way in the morning, unfortunately. And I don't know why that is, but how do you think the majority of Canadians will respond to these stories? You know, is it an us them thing still? Oh boy, you know, they watch, right? I mean, isn't it about empathy here?
Yeah, it is about empathy, but it's also about trying to see every person we meet as an individual,
yeah,
no matter what they're like. So for me, what's changed, and I think I was pretty good to begin with, that's the story I told myself, but to be able to walk down the street and see someone who is kind of raving or isn't, you know, the homeless people, you know, there's a tendency to think they are different. But if you actually stop and talk to them, a lot of them have real stories. We are all just people. And, you know, I guess that's what I hope, is that as Canadians, we'll start to really stop putting a wall up. The stronger we can make community, the stronger we can build the community around us, the more we reach out and try to understand people who are different than us, I think the better we all are. It benefits us all. It's not just a good deed. It's for us, too.
Hi, this is Tim. I'm the tool. I'm the guy who makes all the mistakes. I just want to pop in for a second here. I think a lot of it, too, is that fear of the first time of interacting with someone who was different. I'm a high school teacher, and my school is integrated with a special needs school, all sorts of different, like autism, the whole spectrum, a whole lot of different things. And one thing I've been trying to do over the years, and this isn't some sort of self-promotion thing, but I try to integrate these kids into my drama class. And a lot of the kids in my room are a little bit put off by them at first. But once they spend a bit of time with them, they really start to fall in love with them. And I think it's the process of just that first time of getting to know and starting to create relationship. And, you know, they will always be different. We are all different, regardless of our abilities or whatever. But it's just creating that interaction, that first little step that hopefully will break through. And that's the challenge, I think, that we have.
Yeah, I really think that's true. We just have to take that first step and not be afraid to do it. there should be no fear involved in going up and talking to another person. I mean, there's that healthy human thing where if someone's, you know, wielding a baseball bat, you don't want to go anywhere near them. But other than that, there's nothing. I think we can all stand to learn a lot from everyone around us who is different and not just hang out with everyone who's the same.
So stories about Blair, Jack, Ross, Elizabeth, Richard, Kevin, Tamara, did anybody ever want to shut you down, Melanie, and say, okay, I'm done with this whole film storytelling thing. You're shining way too much light into my life.
You know, it's a good question. Everyone who was telling their story, I mean, not the staff and care providers, but all the patients and clients who were sharing their story always had the opportunity to withdraw. Hmm. And for sure, sometimes people got a little tired of us having our camera in their face, but then the next day they'd be asking for us again.
Right.
So, you know, it's we maintain a very good relationship with people, and on days they didn't feel like talking, we just steered clear. But having said that, once everyone saw what we made of their story in the final films, they were all pleased. Blair herself said to me, oh my goodness, I want to, well, she didn't use those words. I have a polite language. she wanted her mom to see the films as fast as possible because that was the first time she could actually help her mom understand what she was going through.
Wow. Wow.
She said, I want my mom to see this so she knows what I go through. So for lots of people, they have difficulty describing it, even to their own family. You know, especially probably because family wants them to act the same as everyone else. So it's difficult.
Yeah, you're almost seen as an outsider. Living in Hope, it's airing on the Knowledge Network, knowledge.ca, November the 6th, the 13th, the 20th, and the 27th. And we're chatting with Melanie Wood. Melanie, thanks for your time today. I really do appreciate it. I am so thrilled that you've stepped into these folks' lives and are going to share it with us, because I think there's this stigma, you know, in the
trail. Yes.
Okay, let's talk about the stigma for a second, because I think it's profound. I think it's problematic. It's that, oh, here comes that person, I'm going to move over to the other side of the street, right?
Oh, exactly.
Right?
Or the person who comes to sit beside you on the bus.
don't sit here. Don't sit beside me.
That's right.
I might have to have a conversation with you.
Yeah, the stigma comes from everywhere. You know,
yeah.
That's the thing. Is it's institutionalized. I noticed it after a while in some of the care providers just doing what they thought was best, which was protecting the people I was filming with, because they didn't think they ought to be on TV because they shouldn't be talking to us when they weren't feeling good.
Right.
And I think a lot of that comes from the fact that, I mean, we're making some headway on stigma, but the people we hold up who say, I have mental illness and I'm okay, are usually really good looking, they've accomplished something, they're public speakers, and they're doing a really good thing, but that's not most people.
Mm.
Most people struggle to get one foot and the other foot out of bed in the morning or trudge down to their job that they can't quite hold. So to just have those people be the voice of mental illness or mental health really puts them in an awkward position. Then they start self-stigmatizing and thinking, well, there's something wrong with me. I can't do it. I must be broken. And then they don't get help. And, you know, it's a big cycle. And I don't know how to break it other than just to really start helping people not be ashamed.
Is it Richard in the trailer who says, I think as the trailer sort of comes to an end, who wants to be normal anyway, or something?
Yeah, that's Richard, yeah. Yeah, who wants to be normal?
That's right. It's so wonderful. I mean, on some level,
he's happy being who he is at some point, right? He's okay with it.
Well, and what I saw in that was none of us are really normal. Right?
No.
I mean, right?
No.
Aren't we all in some way struggling with one kind? I mean, I guess many of us probably don't want to admit it, but yeah, I don't know if you can say something about that or not, but that's what I was struck with when he said that. Yes, I laughed out loud, but
exactly. I mean, now we actually think being normal might be sort of boring. That's
right.
What we say out loud, but really we all want to fit in, right? So if you're a person who doesn't fit in, that's really, it's hard. And you either have to say, yeah, I'm okay with that. I'm okay with who I am. Or you struggle and don't show the stuff that makes you different. And that's where people can get into trouble.
Well, it's interesting, too. The last interview, again, we talked about an Oscar speech that, or a Golden Globe speech that Viola Davis talked about, finding our way back home. And isn't that what Living in Hope it is really about, is about being accepted and loved and embraced and included? I think Tim wants to dial
in. I was just going to say that one of my favorite Bruce Coburn songs is "The Trouble with Normal is It Always Gets Worse."
Yeah, I like that song too.
It's a good one. Tim is one of the most abnormal people I've ever met, Melanie, just for the record.
He wrote that song about me.
Well, and now we know that's a good thing.
That's right. That's right. Nice positive spin. I like it.
Uh-huh.
Well, you know, it's so sort of cliche, it seems to me, to ask a filmmaker or whatever, a speaker, a writer, what is it that you want the audience to take away? But I mean, obviously, this is a pretty layered group of people and nuanced, and there's a lot of stories going on here, a lot of complexity. Well, what are you hoping for viewers?
Well, it's funny. The series is called Living in Hope, and that is a bit of a play on words for anyone who doesn't, in case I haven't said it, it's the Hope Psychiatric Center in North Vancouver. But someone else said, well, what's so hopeful about it? You know, people aren't getting magically better in the series. It doesn't seem hopeful at all. But to me, that's not the hope. The hope is that we accept and like to talk to people who are different, who will never get quote unquote better. Lots of us are living with whatever mental struggles we have, and we're living with it for the rest of our lives, and we can manage better, we can manage worse. Some of us need a little fix up sometime, and some of us can forget about it for years, but the fact is it's not going away. So the hopeful part for me isn't that we're going to magically get rid of mental illness. The hope is that we can all figure out how to live with it better and enjoy the people who are struggling as much as we enjoy anyone else.
Melanie, have we forgotten, at the risk of sounding like some sort of crazy, hopeful idealist over here, have we forgotten how to love others?
No, maybe we have. We want to love people who are a lot like us, I think, and we've forgotten how to love people who are really different.
Who seem to be outside of the circle. Everybody has something to bring to the conversation, right?
Exactly. No, they do. And that's really what we found when we were filming, is if we took the time to get to know someone, we learned more about them than we ever thought possible, and about ourselves as well.
Right. We've got to come to an end here in a minute or two. But let me go there. What did you learn about yourself or about your crew? What did your crew learn?
Well, first of all, we learned that if we just listened to people and really tried to hear what they were saying, we could get closer to someone's real heart than we've ever gotten before or in filming. Yeah,
the listening side of things, right?
Yeah, and you know, it's okay to say, well, let's just hear them. But no, to really listen and really try and understand, I think that's one thing I came away with, is just to be more patient with time. You know, instead of being in a big hurry all the time,
right?
It's good to take the time. If you want to get to know someone, you need to take time. You can't do it in a hurry.
Was there a sense that you had to be a little more present? I mean, I know you've been making films and you're
absolutely.
In this environment than others, because that's something I really struggle with, is Elizabeth, my wife, will always say, hey, we're here, stay in the moment.
Yes,
right?
I know. No, it's true. And you know what? We're all scattered today with cell phones and all that kind of stuff. And I had to say, you know, no, we can't check our cell phones on when we're here filming, because we really did need to be present and drop. In a way, it was kind of like a filming meditation. You just let the rest of the world drop away and really be present. And if we weren't, we could really tell the difference in the kind of response we were getting. And we just had to be there. And there was something really enjoyable about that, I have to say. Since I'm a person who's always torn in a million directions, it was kind of nice.
Yeah, that's. Well, I think that's a beautiful way to end. I love that you are allowing us to step into this community that probably a lot of people don't have the privilege and the opportunity to see in such an intimate way. And I'm looking forward to seeing it. Living in Hope, going to be airing as of this Tuesday, November the 6th, on the Knowledge Network, knowledge.ca. Melanie, final word about next project? Have you already started to work on the next?
Usually I can say I have, but not this time. Oh. I put my whole heart and soul into this one, and I need a bit of a break.
Nice, and probably out promoting Living in Hope. So
yes. All
the best. Thanks so much for your time today. I really appreciate it. It's been a pleasure getting to know you a little bit better.
Thank you for having me on the show. I look forward to talking again.
Thanks, Melanie. Bye-bye.